Luke started speaking about time, I could just think I'm never good at judging my time, so I don't know if we're going to get out early or might run a little late. So Luke already mentioned it. We're going to be talking about the man tonight, the one who lives again. This weekend, as many people know it, is Easter weekend, as people like to call it. And this weekend is something that some families have traditions. Some families, it's about getting together for a meal. Some have heard the story of it since their childhood, and more people than normally would are thinking about Jesus Christ this weekend. But very often in this world, the Lord Jesus Christ is thought by many people just to be someone who once lived, someone who died, someone just to be remembered about. But the gospel brings us to something much greater than this. It brings us to Christ who, yes, he did die. But also the Lord Jesus Christ truly rose again. He's not merely just somebody for us to remember when we come here. He's not somebody who just did some good work. He's a man who now lives, and that's what makes all the difference for us. So I'd like to start reading tonight with a long verse from the book of Luke. Book of Luke is third book in the New Testament. Luke chapter 23, and Luke chapter 23, and we'll start at verse 44. Chapter 23 and verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the mists. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all the acquaintances and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. The same had not consented to the counsel, And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel any deeds of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre, which just means tomb, that was hewn in stone, wherein never man had laid before. Now, if we could just turn to Luke 24 for just a couple more verses here. Luke 24, starting at verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. The idea I want to keep before us today is very simple. On a weekend like this, many people come to think of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and rightly so. The cross is something that stands at the very center of our gospel message. But the gospel isn't only that Christ died for us. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. If the story ended where we finished reading in Luke 23, the Lord Jesus is somebody that we could probably admire, respect, maybe even pity what had happened to him. But none of us could come up here and preach to you a living Savior. That's why these verses in Luke 24 matter so much. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ did die, but also he truly rose again. What we read in this Bible puts no doubt of the reality of his death. This wasn't just some appearance. It wasn't just him suffering on the cross. He went to that cross, suffered, taking upon himself all of our sins. He gave up the ghost, which means he died. His body was then taken down, wrapped in fine linen, and laid in a tomb. The death of Christ is something that's very real. And that matters. That is very important to this message, because if he did not die, then sin, all of our sins, were not dealt with. The gospel message isn't about Christ just coming to this earth to set an example for us to follow, or to show his love, though he did both of those things. He came to this earth knowing his fate, knowing that he would have to go to that cross and die for our sins, because he had no sins of his own. In the book of 1 Corinthians, I just have one verse, so there's no need to flip to it if you don't want. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, it says, "How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." That little word in there, "for," that's what makes this sentence important. He didn't die on that cross because the men there hated him. He didn't die there because the people of this world rejected him. He died there because he knew that that is how he could pay for our sins, everyone's sins. The cross was not an accident in this story. It wasn't a tragedy that overtook his life or a failure of his mission. The cross is the entire reason that he came to this earth. And this needs to be remembered, especially on a weekend like this. Many like to think of the death of Christ in a rather vague way. They might think of the suffering or the sacrifice that was made, feel the sorrow of what happened. But the gospel makes it very clear to us why he died. He had to go to that cross and die because the sin of this world is a very real thing. The judgment that we all deserve for that sin is a very real thing. He died because us as sinners could never save ourselves. This death was not just another death, not just another crucifixion on some Friday afternoon. This was the Son of God being put to death for our sins. The thing is our condition before God is something far more serious than most people like to take and admit. Man, humankind, we don't just need encouragement from the Bible. It's not some improvement plan for our life. It doesn't even rely on religion. What man needs is salvation. And that's why the cross is so necessary to us. If a person, any of us, if we could be saved by living a decent life, Christ never would have had to die for us. If you could attend church and save yourself, Christ would never have needed to die for us. There's nothing man can do, no sincerity or effort, no morality that you could live in your life that can stop this. Christ had to die for our sins. And he did. The death of Christ puts two things very clear in front of us. It shows us how serious the issue of sin in our lives is. But it also showed the love of God that he gave us a way to be saved of it. So many people are prepared to stop at that point in the story. Think of Christ dying on the cross. Call him a good man, a righteous man, maybe the greatest man that ever lived. The gospel doesn't leave him there dead on the cross or dead in that tomb. That's where Luke 24 takes us. Those women were up very early in the morning and went to the sepulcher, the tomb. They had brought spices with them, and they were expecting a dead body in there. These are people who loved the Lord Jesus. They had honored him in life. They were so sincere followers of him. And yet, even they still came to that tomb expecting to find someone that was dead. But when they arrived, everything was to change for them. They found that large stone door of the tomb rolled aside. They entered into that tomb and did not see a dead body laying there. Then the question came from those figures, those angels that were there. Why seek ye the living among the dead? That's a question for all of us. People keep thinking of the Lord Jesus as somebody who just was in the past. They speak of him as if his story ended at Calvary, on that cross. People like to treat him, even some of us who come up here and speak like to treat him as just a historical figure sometimes, a teacher, a martyr, an example. But heaven itself tells us, says, he is not here, but he is risen. The gospel points us to that empty tomb because a dead Savior can't save anybody. A dead teacher can still influence people. A dead hero can still be admired. A dead martyr will still be remembered. But only the living Christ, the Lord Jesus, can save. And that's why Easter weekend, as people like to call it, should never just leave us simply thinking about events from long ago. It should bring us face to face with a very present and living, risen Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was risen from that tomb shows that his work at that cross was accepted. The fact that Christ is risen shows that death could not hold him. The risen Christ proves to us that this gospel message that all of us come up here to preach to you is not just the memory of something, but a living message. If Christ is risen, then salvation is available through a living person to all. In the book of Romans, chapter 4, and verse 25, it tells us, speaking of the Lord Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was delivered for our offenses, our sins. That brings all of us right to the cross. He was raised again for our justification, our salvation. That brings all of us to that empty tomb. Resurrection does not make what happened at the cross unnecessary. It confirms what happened there. It shows that the work that was done at that cross by the Lord Jesus Christ was completed and accepted by God. It's God's public declaration that he was satisfied in the work of his Son. That the one who had died on that cross for our sins is alive now. That means you here, all of us sinners who had come to Christ, is not just trusting in that dead memory, but is trusting in a living Savior. I like how in Luke 24 here it told us, it said, remember how he spake unto you. Showing that, just proving that the cross was not an afterthought. Those angels were reminding these women that the Lord Jesus himself knew what would happen and was telling them. He said, the Son of Man must be delivered. He must be crucified. He must rise again on the third day. The death and the resurrection of Christ were always central to his purpose here on earth. The cross wasn't defeat. The tomb wasn't a surprise. This was God's route to creating salvation for all of us who are in our sins. The sad fact of everything, you can admire this story and still be very lost in your life. You can believe in the facts that are presented to you from up here, and you can still not be saved. You can know that Christ died and rose again, but if you haven't personally trusted in him, what's the point? The gospel message should always press us beyond simple belief, but to our personal faith. We are told in the book of the Acts, there's a story about a Philippian jailer who gets down on his knees and asks what he must do to be saved, and he is given the simplest answer this Bible can give us. Acts 16 and verse 31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It's not about just believing that he lived. It's not about just believing that he died, but a full belief in the work done by the Lord Jesus Christ at that cross for you. This is personal trust. It means we have to take, as sinners, our personal place. We have to realize that we are a sinner before God and rest everything on Christ. It can be hard. It means no longer leaning on what you are or what you have done, what you hope to become. It means putting the weight of your soul on that one who died and rose again for us. If Christ were only dead and didn't rise again, we could maybe honor him, but we couldn't come to him. But he is risen again. And for this, we can rely on him for our salvation. There's many of us in this room who have relied on him for our salvation now and know that peace that can come from it. And the fact that he is risen means that everyone here could come to him tonight. Those women went to that tomb looking for one who was dead, and they knew when they left that he was alive. The gospel gives us that message for us too. He is alive. He is risen. The gospel invitation we come up here to give to you all is not just some empty formula that we come and repeat. When we say believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are speaking of that one who now lives, that one who saves and is able to receive all of us who come unto him. But I get left up here sometimes wondering, what good does it do for someone here to understand this story if they're never saved by the person who's at the center of them? What good does it do to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that he died and rose again if you're going to sit down there and remain in your sins? Times like this weekend shouldn't just make you more thoughtful of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for a little while. It should continue to point you to a risen Christ that all sinners can come unto for their salvation. That's why the resurrection matters so much. It means that work that Christ did was finished. It means that our Savior is living. It means that this invitation that's being extended to you is present. It means that a sinner who will trust in him will not be disappointed. As I'm starting to wrap up, what we read in Luke 23 tells us that he died. Luke 24 tells us that he rose. 1 Corinthians told us why. It said Christ died for our sins and rose again. Romans 4 tells us that the resurrection has meaning for our salvation. And Acts 16 gives us the simple instructions of what needs to happen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we all here on this weekend pray that your remembering of Jesus Christ does not stop with this weekend. See him as the gospel presents him to us, the crucified and risen Son of God, alive now and able to save. To anyone here who's not saved, I just want to say, you don't need to wait for another special weekend to come along. You don't need to get better in your life. You don't need to accomplish anything. You only need Christ and his finished work, the one who died for sins, the one who was buried, and the one who rose again. He lives even now. Believe on him, and thou shalt be saved. Just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we could come up here to express your word to everyone here. We ask that you would open the minds and hearts of all those gathered here, that they would know the simplicity of salvation through your Son who went to that cross, died, and rose again for us, that we could cast all our burdens and cares on him and know the joy and peace that comes from salvation. We ask for safety as everyone travels home, and ask that your word would stay in their hearts tonight. All these things we pray to you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.